children all over the world really love soccer, or football. It's football they love, I guess. But whatever you call it, it's the most popular sport in the world. So what if you could somehow harness people's love of the sport to do something good, like teaching kids about health? Well, there's an organization called Grassroots Soccer that does just that. They team up with pro soccer players to teach soccer-themed HIV and AIDS prevention classes to youth all over Southern Africa. Dr. Tommy Clark founded and runs Grassroots Soccer, and he joins us now. Hi, Dr. Clark. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So you started Grassroots Soccer back in 2002. How did you come up with the idea?
The idea came from my experiences, basically, in soccer. I actually grew up in Aberdeen, Scotland, and my dad was a big player for the national team. And so soccer was always part of my growing up. And we moved to Zimbabwe when I was 14 years old. And my dad coached a professional team called Highlanders, one of the bigger teams in Africa. And it was just incredible. As popular as soccer was in Scotland, and it was very popular, it was more popular in Africa. And really, it was, in this country, football, basketball, baseball, the malls, video games, everything sort of rolled into one.
Now, how did soccer and concern about public health come together for you? Obviously, you're a doctor, and then you played professionally in Zimbabwe, too?
Yeah, so my family left Zimbabwe, moved to the U.S. I went to Dartmouth, and then I went back to Zimbabwe and played for the same team that my dad had coached, the Highlanders. And I think the main thing was really just sort of witnessing the devastation of HIV on one hand and sort of the power of soccer on the other. And just to talk a little bit about both of those things, certainly in Zimbabwe, the life expectancy has dropped from 69 to 35 in less than a decade. So
wow.
It's almost halved. So really, really incredible. And for me, when I was there, I guess I went to a few funerals, and we didn't really talk about whose funerals. They were just friends or family members of people on the team, and we didn't talk too much more about it. And really, in the course of a year, I didn't have a single conversation about HIV/AIDS, which seems incredible, really. And I wasn't even really aware that it was incredible until I came back to the U.S. And over the next couple of years, basically, I had more and more friends die of AIDS, and suddenly, I sort of felt, I guess I always describe it sort of as like a tapping in my head, just sort of this sort of a kind of a voice that won't go away, that basically felt like sounds a bit, I don't know.
Inspired is what it sounds like.
Thank you. That's a much more positive way to think about it. But
I can diagnose you, Dr. Clark. You're inspired chronically.
Thank you. It was a voice in my head, basically, that just kept saying that, soccer, HIV, and there's some overlap there. And then I end up meeting I always describe him as the Michael Jordan of behavior change. And people either have never heard of him or their jaws drop.
Dr. Phil. No, Doctor. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's pretty funny. Dr. Bandura, less known than Dr. Phil.
But more efficacious.
Yeah. And actually, interesting you use that word. Efficacy is sort of his word. And really, the premise to his theories that are used in smoking cessation, all sorts of behavior change programs around the world, is that role models are really the key ingredient in changing people's behavior. Certainly soccer players in Africa were those role models.
So you use the term Trojan horse to describe the way grassroots soccer works, which is a funny way to describe an HIV and AIDS prevention program. How does it work?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess nobody really wants to come to an AIDS education seminar or session. Doesn't sound very inviting or interesting, perhaps. But I think the idea of grassroots soccer, just the name soccer, is enough to get people excited and pay attention and want to show up. So in a sense, that's the Trojan horse, is really using the soccer stars and the game itself to make this program appealing and basically allow us to get into communities and really access the local stars.
So maybe we can get a sense anecdotally of how the grassroots soccer curriculum works. Will you tell the story of one young man named Ebi from Zambia?
Ebi's a little guy. He really is a little guy. He's actually on our little video on our homepage of our website. And he was an AIDS orphan, and he'd gone through the grassroots soccer curriculum. had taken the games that he'd learned and taken them back into his compound. He lived in Lusaka, Zambia, in a community called Chawama, which was one of the poorest communities in Lusaka. And our staff had heard about this guy who was finding kids and recruiting kids after school and was delivering some version of the curriculum. And our staff went down to find out who was this guy and what was he doing, and probably to shut him down. And when they got down there, they saw this, you know, really inspired young guy who was really doing a wonderful job. And so we quickly hired him. And we've actually, he's now has the title Director of Chawama.
I want to get an idea of how the curriculum works. Can you give me an example of one of the activities you use to motivate the kids?
The first activity is actually the simplest to understand, and I think it's one of the most powerful. It's just called Coach's Story, and the role model, ideally a professional player, and you know, an important person in that community, will stand up in front of the kids and will describe his or her story, usually talking about how HIV has impacted that person. So straight away for the kids, we've given them a role model, someone that they look up to, someone from their community that's not a passive person in the world of HIV, but is acknowledging openly how it's affected them and what they're doing about it.
Now, Dr. Clark, let's talk efficacy. Grassroots soccer is expanding. You're now in Zimbabwe, Zambia, and South Africa. So as you grow, how do you measure success? Like, are you able to assess whether you're actually affecting behavior?
Yeah, I think I think one of the reasons that the organization has been successful has been our focus on results and evaluation. When we had no money, when nobody was earning a salary, barely a stipend, we actually hired a team of evaluators from a Stanford-affiliated organization called Children's Health Council to come and do an evaluation for us.
Have you found that HIV cases are going down?
We haven't found that HIV cases are going down, and that's probably beyond the scope of any organization like Grassroots Soccer. That's sort of a project more for the World Health Organization or the CDC or for a larger group like that. One of the challenges to measure that piece is that the lag time from the age we work with these kids till the time they would be HIV positive is probably somewhere in 6 to 10 years, and our organization has been operating on the ground for 5 years. So it's really out of the realm. So what Grassroots Soccer has done, I guess the way we look at success is our impact is basically the number of kids who have gone through the program times the quality or what they've learned. So in terms of the number of kids, we've had 230,000 kids go through this program. So that's one piece of it. In terms of the second piece, the quality or what kids learn, some of the main things that we really can measure are stigma. And we've certainly shown in about 5 or 6 evaluations now, some from our partners, including Johns Hopkins and AAD, and some through Harvard, and some through another one of our partners, Mercy Corps. And I guess some statistics just to back that up. I think the percentage of kids who were willing to support a classmate who was HIV positive was around 30% before the intervention. After the intervention, it was around 80%. So just, kids being able to demonstrate that they actually would be able to stand up and actually do something. Another, I think, important statistic for me is that the number of kids who actually reported educating other people in their community through the intervention, on average, the number of people who a kid educated was 6, which was really going from 0 to 6. So that these kids were actually, they weren't just taking this lesson, taking the information, but they were actually taking that information out of the classroom and using it. So for me, that was very positive.
What's the most surprising myth you've heard from kids regarding HIV or AIDS?
The kids are, they're pretty enlightened, and they're for the most part, myths don't. I think the kids are. I really do. It sounds like a Whitney Houston song, but I really do think that the kids are the future. And as cliched as that sounds, I think it's actually the truth. And I think there was one quote. I guess was a little 12-year-old kid who'd gone through our program in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, back in 2003, and he'd said that. I think the doctors and scientists were trying their best, but the solution was in our hands. Now let's go out there. And I think that was this idea that they shouldn't rely on doctors and scientists so much, and that they really could go out there and make a difference. For me, that was a powerful quotation from a little kid.
So, Dr. Clark, you co-founded Grassroots Soccer with Ethan Zahn, the former soccer pro who won the third season of CBS's Survivor. And to raise money for you guys, he's dribbling a soccer ball from New England to Washington, D.C. this summer. How is that going to work?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So Ethan is Ethan's really been a wonderful wonderful ambassador, I think, for Grassroots Soccer and for HIV and HIV prevention in general. And he's going to start August 23rd. And dribble a soccer ball from Boston all the way to D.C. And we'll arrive in D.C. on World AIDS Day, December the 1st.
And is he going through fields, streets? I mean, you guys need to take a cautionary lesson from the Olympic torch. Somebody might harass him.
He's going to go down streets. He's going to dribble 5 miles a day, and then he's going to stop and do a soccer clinic and with local communities all along the Eastern Seaboard. The website is grassrootssoccerunited.org, and we're about 4 or 5 months away still, but we're actively signing up communities that are interested in working alongside Ethan and participating in the run. Well, one thing I should add is that the top fundraisers will be matched with, or every kid that signs up will be matched with a kid in Africa.
Oh wow!
And the top fundraisers will get to go to South Africa for the World Cup, and they'll get to meet up, play soccer, and go to some World Cup games together.
Oh, that is very cool. And
I know
you'll be on a float behind Ethan, tossing out condoms to the crowd, right?
I don't know about that.
Just a suggestion. and finally, Dr. Clark, in Zimbabwe, like most of the world, soccer is called football, as you know. So why did you go with grassroots soccer?
I don't know. It's a good question. I wish I had a good answer for that. It's too late now, though. No, I think in Africa, soccer works pretty well.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah. Soccer's okay in Africa. It's in South America and in Europe. It's more of a challenge. So maybe we'll have to become grassroots football there too.
Dr. Clark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dr. Tommy Clark is the founder and CEO of Grassroots Soccer. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.